If you would, to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. I'll be preaching from this psalm today and tonight. This morning we'll look at the first 7 verses, and Lord willing, tonight we'll briefly look at verses 8 to 16, and then we'll finish off the psalm looking at verses 17 to 21. Now this psalm, it's called the Psalm of Praise. Psalm 100 is also called the Psalm of Praise. And we see here that this is David's personal Psalm of Praise. David's personal Psalm of Praise. David shows a strong desire to praise our great God. He shows a strong desire to praise Him, to magnify Him with praise. In his desiring to do this, we will see through this psalm the reasons why he desires to greatly magnify Elohim, his God. And he speaks of the goodness of God. First of all, he speaks of the greatness of God. Then he speaks of the goodness of God. And he speaks of the graciousness of God. And then he speaks of the great righteousness of God. Of our great, holy, sovereign God. Now think of this, the greatness of God, Christ is God manifest in the flesh, the goodness of God, Christ is manifest in the flesh. Right? The graciousness of our great God, we see that in Christ manifest in the flesh. And the righteousness of our sovereign God. Without Christ weaving that coat of righteousness when he lived on this earth, we would not have any acceptance before God. So keep that in your mind. It also speaks all about Christ. And how do we know that this is David's personal expressions? Well, we'll see the words, I will, throughout the psalm. In verse 1 we see, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name. I will do that, David says. I will do that. In verse 2 we see, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name. In verse 5, we see, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty. And then in verse 21, the last verse of the psalm, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. So this is David's personal song of praise to Jehovah. And we will see as we go through this, this is true of every born-again, blood-washed child of God. This is true of every believer. So this is very personal to David. We're getting a glimpse into the heart of a man after God's own heart, which is every true believer. Every true believer. We will see that not only is this personal for David, but again, but for we who are born again, blood-washed saints. As we sing these lips from as we sing these words from our own lips in praise. We may not say exactly what David says here, but oh, it comes out of our heart. The same thing he says here. So we see then in the first 7 verses, as well as the closing verse, that David uses a variety of expressions to proclaim the greatness of God. Marvel at these words, I will extol thee, I will bless thy name every day. Will I bless thee? I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. One generation shall praise thy works to another. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty. Right down to the last verse, from the first verse right down to the last verse. David speaks of the greatness of our God. And not only does David praise God in his heart privately for the greatness and the goodness and the graciousness in the righteousness of our great God, but we see here he does it publicly too. He does it publicly as well. This is a psalm to be sung in worship. And again, we might not say the same words, but we'll go through this and we'll see that this is words from the heart of a believer. Words from the heart of a believer. As we contemplate how great our God is, his sovereign, almighty power. David sang this privately and sang it publicly. He wasn't ashamed to let people know who his God was. And he let folks know. David is moved, of course, by the Holy Spirit of God to pen these words too. Remember that. So this is privately from his heart, but he's moved by the Holy Spirit of God to pen these words. They're recorded for us, for our learning. The Holy Spirit of God made David pen these words to sound forth the praise of his heart. Sound forth the praise of his heart. And we will see that he praises the most holy God. We are to sound forth, just like David, the goodness of God, the greatness of God, the righteousness of God, and the graciousness of God. Why? Because he's great. And he's greatly to be praised. And he alone is worthy of our praise. No one else is worthy of our praise. Not even ourselves. See, that's the opposite of what man says, right? Man, you worship yourself in the natural man. Right? You might not say that, but people do. But God's people, from a born-again heart, speak of the greatness of our God, the graciousness of our God, the righteousness of our God, and the goodness of our God. So David's amazed when he speaks in verse 5 of the glorious honor of thy majesty. He's lost in contemplation of the majesty of the Lord. He's just in awe. You ever read the scripture and just being in awe over a verse you read? Just sit there and think upon it, though. Meditate on it. Let it sink deep into your heart. Think upon it the whole week, even if it's just one verse. People think, I got to read all these chapters and all these verses. I got to listen to all the... No, if you listen and read one verse and get understanding out of it, you're going to get so much out of that. It's good to read. It's good to read. It's a couple chapters, 3, 4 chapters, 5 chapters. But you get some folks, they read 10 chapters, but they don't retain anything. Just feast on this, on the majesty, the glorious honor of thy majesty. How do we learn? Well, we learn, I'm going to hit on that tonight, we learn by thinking about things. By continuously thinking about it. And that's how we are to approach the scriptures, to meditate upon these things through the week. So David thinks of the power of God, the majesty of God. He speaks of the majesty and might of the Supreme One. Then he turns his thought to divine goodness. Look at verse 7. Psalm 145, verse 7. He turns from the thoughts of the majesty of God and the greatness of God to the goodness of God. Look what it says in verse 7 here. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness. It's not just goodness. It's great goodness. I ask you who are a born-again child of God, has God not been good to you? Has he not manifest his great goodness to you in and through Christ Jesus our Lord? He has, hasn't he? He has. And shall sing of thy righteousness. Well, we know Christ is the righteousness of God, because in the gospel therein is the righteousness of God revealed, and that's Christ. That's Christ Jesus our Lord. So may we meditate through the week. May we, after we hear this message, may we meditate on the goodness of God, on the greatness of God, on the righteousness of God, and on the graciousness of God. As we go through this week, just think about these things. Read this psalm again. Find a verse that just speaks to your heart and just read it. Put it to memory. Write it to your heart. My, there's so much in this psalm about the greatness and the goodness of God. And as we think of his goodness, we're praise the Lord. There's no way you can think of the goodness of God and not praise him. There's no way. Now, there's so much other things in this world that our minds get caught up in, isn't it? When that happens, bring your thoughts to the goodness of God. And your lips will be filled with praise to Him. I guarantee you it will. If you're a born-again believer. Now, if you're not a born-again believer, you won't be filled with praise. But if you're a born-again believer, your lips will be filled with praise. Your heart, you don't even have to utter anything. Your heart will be filled with praise. Filled with praise for God, over the goodness of God, over the mercy of God. Look at verse 9. The Lord is good to all. Just think of this. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. All His works. Let's go back to verse 1. David's psalm of praise is the heading. So it's a personal psalm of praise for David. And how do we know? Look at the first words. I will extol thee, my Elohim. That's the Hebrew word there for God. Elohim, the mighty one. O King. He's the King of Kings. And remember, who's saying this? Who's saying this? King David. He's an earthly king, isn't he? And he knows all about power. He knows all about dominion. And he's saying, my king. My king. O king. Only one. No other one. Only one. O king. Singular. And I will bless thy name forever and ever. So note in here in verse 1, David is God's king in Israel. Adores God as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this is very personal here because notice the words here. My Elohim, mine, my Elohim. When I read that and read the name that he uses here, oh my heart was soaring because he's my Elohim too. He's my Elohim. And if you're a believer, he's your Elohim. Isn't that wonderful? He's the strong and mighty one, my Elohim. Mine. The cry of every born-again believer. We see how personal it is here for David. My Elohim, my God, my God. Again, is this not the cry of every born-again, blood-washed believer? God is my God. God's my God. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He's mine. And it's all according to the grace and mercy of God. Think of that. David cries this cry, my Elohim, which again means the strong and mighty one, mine, by the grace of God, by the mercy of God. He's mine. He's mine. And it's all according, think of this too, it's all according to his absolute sovereign will. Hallelujah. Now, does that not fill you who are a born-again believer? Does that not fill your heart with praise? We don't have to verbalize anything, do we? Oh, my. He's mine. By the grace and mercy of God. It's overwhelming, isn't it? It's overwhelming. And we, Norm and I were talking this week. We cannot, with our finite minds, grasp these truths. That's why we just fill with praise and want to sound out. My Elohim, he's mine. And every believer can say that. And think of this, the Lord's royalty, King David. The Lord put him in place. The Lord's royalty, King David, arouses our loyalty. Arouses our loyalty. Our spirit, the Holy Spirit in us is moved to magnify our great God, my God. And David brings forth the absolute sovereignty of God here because he's an earthly king. He knows what it means to be king. He knows what it means to rule, to have a dominion. He knows that. And here is King David exalting the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, exalting him in praise. Now the psalmist has extolled his Lord many a time before, and we see he's continuing to do so here, and he will do so in in the future in his life. And you know what? He's doing it right now in glory. He's praising God right now in glory. Forever. He said forever. That's only by the mercy and grace of God, eh? Forever. See the word extol here in the Hebrew? It means to rise up, to lift up, to lift up, to lift up, to be exalted. It indicates that something is literally raised up. It's used often of God being exalted, and this is amazing. It describes the presentation of a sacrifice. Oh my. Turn, if you would, to Hebrew or Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 2. We'll just look at something here. We'll read verse 9 of Leviticus chapter 2. The same Hebrew word used for extol here is used in the meat offering as the words shall take. Shall take. Leviticus chapter 2. Verse 9. And the priest shall take, same Hebrew word, here raise it up. Here raise it up. Here shall take, same Hebrew word used for extol, from the meat offering, a memorial thereof, and shall burn it upon the altar. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Our Lord offered himself up. He offered himself up in our place, in the place of his people. My, oh my. Let's go back to this wonderful psalm. It says, I will extol thee, my Elohim, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. We see here that David continues to speak of his heartfelt devotion and adherence to Elohim by, again, the pronoun my. He publicly acknowledges Elohim, and then he uses the title King. He goes on to declare the greatness of our God, the goodness of our God, the graciousness of God, and the righteousness of God all through this psalm. And note the latter part of verse 1, David proclaims that he will, we see here, he's going to exhaust himself in praise. He's going to spend himself in praise. And he says, I'll do it forever. Look what he says. And I will bless thy name forever and ever. Oh my. He's blessing his name right now in glory. He blessed his name while he was here on earth. He blessed his name when he sang this psalm. Oh, and by grace of God and the mercy of God, we're praise his name forever and ever. And note, David uses the word blessed not merely for variation of sound, but also for a deepening, sweetening of the sense of his praise to our great and glorious God. He's going to bless his name. Not just cry out his name, he's going to praise him. He's going to bless his name. This is heartfelt affection for Elohim. Heartfelt affection. He praises his name from his heart privately again and publicly in song here. And this is true of all believers in Christ. We, as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, words cannot express how we feel about our Savior, can they? There's praises in our heart that just we can't express them with words. Is it so for you? I know it is for me. I feel like my words are so insufficient sometimes to explain the greatness of our God, the gloriousness of our God. And David declares that he will offer every form of praise through every form of existence. He says forever, which has no end, right? And then he adds another ever. You know what that does? That forbids all sense of a close to his praise. There will be no close to David's praise for our great God. And you know, for the born-again believer, there be no close for our praise for our great God forever. We'll be thanking the Lord for his blood which cleanses us, from all sins. Deeper than that stain is gone. Oh, some people say, oh, I'm too much of a sinner to come to Christ. No. He never cast anyone away who's come to Him. There's never been a case too hard for our Lord, has there? Now, He cast 5,000 demons out of a man. And each believer says, He saved my soul. He can save anyone He pleases to save. Right? He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to Him. Those who come to Him. And our prayer is that God, by His grace and mercy, if you do not know Him, would draw you to Him. Oh my. So David forbids all idea of a close to his praise. And again, think upon you who are a born-again, blood-washed believer, washed in the precious blood of Christ. Our praise of God to our great God will be as eternal as God is. Do you know that? He's eternal. We'll be with Him who is eternal. He who is eternal has saved us. He became a man. Died on Calvary's cross for us. And our praise to Him will be eternal. That's why. And this is, remember, this is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. He's the true author of these words. David's just singing what's in his heart, what's coming out of his heart. But the Holy Spirit is the true author of these words. Oh my. You understand now, we get a little glimpse of why the Lord's, or why it says in Scripture that eye hath not seen nor ear heard the things that wait for we who love Christ that are coming. We can't even imagine it. To praise our God forever and ever and ever and ever, and there's no end to that? Oh, it's glorious, isn't it? David's so carried away by his praise to our great God. He's so heartfelt of praise. Look what we see in verse 2. He repeats this great truth. Every day will I bless thee. Remember, it's personal. Every day will I bless thee. And I will praise thy name forever and ever. He just repeats. He's so overwhelmed at the thought of the greatness of God. And his heart is so full of praise for God that he repeats it again. And again, this is only by the grace and mercy of God. No other reason. And note every day, he says, whatever the character of the day, whether it's good or bad, whatever comes, whether it's good or bad, whatever the circumstances or conditions during that day, David resolves to continue to glorify God. Oh, may our great God give we who are the people of God grace and strength to be like our dear brother David here. Oh, when we think of the mercy, God's mercy and grace towards us in Christ Jesus our Lord, then we who are the people of God, the people of His choosing, will have abundant cause each day to praise Him. And we do. We have abundant cause every day to praise the Lord. We don't always see it, do we? Like Sister Carolyn texted me this week, we see through a glass darkly, don't we, Sister? We see through a glass darkly while we're here. But then, face to face, my, oh my. My, oh my. So we have abundant cause every day to praise our great God for praising His mighty name. Now look in verse 3. We'll see David speak of the greatness of our mighty God, the greatness of Elohim, the greatness of Jehovah. The word Yahweh is Jehovah, the self-existent one in the Hebrew as well. But the word used there for Lord is Yahweh, but again it means the self-existent one, Jehovah. And so we see David speak of the greatness of our mighty God, the greatness of Elohim, the greatness of Jehovah. He says, great, great is Yahweh, and greatly to be praised. And His greatness is what? Unsearchable. Look at that. You can't plumb it. You can't plumb the greatness of God. Oh my. And the word great there in verse 3, it's an adjective in the Hebrew, meaning great. That's what it means. His greatness, though, is unsearchable. You will never find an end to the greatness of God. Isn't that wonderful? And He's the one who saved us. He's our God. The word there for great in the Hebrew emphasizes the importance, size, and significance of something or someone. So we see the Holy Spirit has David pen unsearchable. So it speaks of this greatness. And then the Holy Spirit has him pen is unsearchable. This word is used to attribute theological importance in various ways. Things of great significance. The things of great significance. Is not our God one of great significance? It speaks of such things as God's great acts of redemption, emphasized His great and awesome things. This same Hebrew word is used in Psalm 71:9. Turn there if you would. The same Hebrew word is used in Psalm 71:9. And then put your finger in the book of Job, Job chapter 5. So Psalm 71:9 and Job chapter 5. It speaks of the vastness of our great God. The vastness of Him. Look at this. The same Hebrew word is used for great here in Psalm 71:19. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who has done great things. O God, who is like unto Thee? And He has done great things, hasn't He? He spoke the world into existence out of nothing. He parted the Red Sea so that the Israelites walked on dry land. And He had it close about the Egyptians, destroying the enemies of God. My. And in the greatness, when we who are God's people think of the greatness of God, we think of the great redemption that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the fact that the great one, God incarnate in the flesh, obtained eternal salvation for us by the giving of His own life. My. Is it any wonder then that God's people are filled with praise and that we want to speak about the greatness of our God? Is it any wonder? My. He's awesome. He's incredible. Over in Job chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, we see here, speaking, Job speaks of His greatness as well. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, who doeth great things. And unsearchable, look at that, there's that word again, unsearchable. Marvelous things, look at this, without number. You know, the scripture says that if all the books were written, or if all the things were written about what Christ did on this earth, and just when He was on this earth, scripture says the whole world couldn't contain all those books. Just the things He did while He was here. Let alone all the marvelous works of providence, sovereignty, how He raises up one kingdom to have His gospel go forth, pulls down another. My, oh my. What a great God. And He alone is worthy of our praise. Job 9 verse 10 says this, who doeth great things past finding out. He does such great things that our finite minds cannot understand the wondrous great things that He does. We can't even grasp it, beloved of God. Over in Exodus, turn if you would to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. This word is used to describe the might and greatness of God's arm, which brought Israel out from Egypt. Now, this Hebrew word is translated great 413 times in the Old Testament. It's used a lot because our God is great, and He's greatly to be praised. 413 times it's translated great in the Old Testament. And it brings forth that God's presence and character and power, counsel, compassion, and mercy are described as great. Great. Look at this, Exodus 15, 16. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm, by the power of God. And they shall be as still as a stone till my people pass over, O Lord. And that's Yahweh. Till the people pass over, which thou hast what? Purchased? Oh my, every one of God's sheep whom He purchased shall make it home. There will not be one left behind. Not one. Just as He bought those Israelites out of Egypt, He brings His people out of spiritual bondage. Out of the Egypt of this world. This world is a picture of Egypt. We're treading through it, aren't we, while we're here. But He's going to take us home one day. And we're going to praise Him forever and ever, just like David proclaimed, forever and ever. Oh, what a great God we have. Now, we could spend months and years on studying the greatness of God, because He alone is worthy of our praise and worship. And when you ponder His attributes, His mercy, His righteousness, His greatness, His graciousness, His holiness, you quickly realize there's no part of Jehovah's greatness which is not worthy of great praise. He's worthy of great praise. No chorus is too loud, no orchestra too large, no psalm too lofty for the praising of the Lord of hosts. And His greatness is unsearchable. We see right here. Oh my. His worth far exceeds our praise. His worth far exceeds our praise. And excellent are all His deeds. Everything He does is excellent. And when we meditate upon the greatness of God, we shall quickly find ourselves surrounded with unknowable wonders. We'll just find ourselves in the deep water, like Brother Joe likes to say. Deep water. I remember one time Joe and I were talking about the Trinity, and Brother Joe got going into some real deep. I said, "I'm drowning, brother." He goes, "Slow down." Oh, my. And if you start to think about the greatness of our God, you'll find yourself in deep water. Deep water. And it leaves us in utter awe, and it'll lead us to sing praise. It'll lead us to sing praise to our great and glorious God from a redeemed heart in adoration to our great God. You know what? Not all the minds of the centuries can suffice to search out the unsearchable riches of God. Not all the minds of all the centuries can even come close to searching out the unsearchable riches of God. And there's been some geniuses in this world, haven't there? Nope. No one even comes close. No one even comes close to search out the unsearchable riches of God. He's past finding out, the Scripture says. And then He reveals Himself to us, and the little bit we know, we're just like, oh my Lord, this is amazing. Right? It is. It's incredible. And He's worthy of all our praise. He's worthy of all our praise. Now let's look at verses 4 to 6. We see the believer in Christ will proclaim Christ to our generation. Remember, we're a chosen generation. Peter wrote of that. We're a chosen generation. And God's people all through the years are a chosen generation. We are in the generation right now that we're in by the purpose and will of God. And we are chosen out of our generation. Isn't that amazing? So many people are left and passed over. And He chooses us out of His generation. out of each generation. But look what it says here. And here we see that the praise for our mighty God shall never stop. Verses 4 to 6, Psalm 145. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness, thy greatness. Now we know that the Thessalonian believers, in their generation, the word of God came to them in power. We saw that in our study in 1 Thessalonians. In chapter 1, the word of God came to them in power because they were chosen by God out of their generation. The word of God came to you who are a believer when it did, because you're chosen out of your generation. Isn't that amazing? That's incredible. God is always ahead of people. In every generation, he has a chosen people. In every generation. So don't despair. God has a people even in the generation now of young people. He has a people in them. We don't know who they are, but he has a people in them. He does. He has them. Because it said there, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. One generation to another. Oh my. So God's always had a people, and he always will have a people in every generation. A people who are born again by the power and might of God the Holy Spirit. Now how do we know that to be true? Turn to 1 Peter. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Or 1 Peter chapter 2. How do we know this to be true? Well, because the scriptures declare this. The scriptures declare this. And this is what, this just leaves me in awe. To think that I as a believer was chosen by God in eternity out of my generation. And a lot of people who were better than me, a lot of people who were smarter, a lot of people who were stronger than me, but God chose me. And that just leaves me in awe. Is it so for you? My. But he did it because he planned and purposed it, and because his love was set upon us from eternity. That's one just to sit and ponder for a little while. And you'll be lost in awe and praise very quickly. But look at this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 to 10. But ye, Peter's writing to born-again, blood-washed believers, and he says, but ye are a chosen generation. Look at that. Chosen. A royal priesthood made holy by God. And holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, right, by our birth. We're sinners by our birth, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now let's go back to Psalm 145 with that in our mind there, where he says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now let's read those three verses again with that in our minds. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. What do God's people declare? The mighty acts of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he's done for us. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, oh, his majesty, and of thy wondrous works, what wondrous works he's done in redeeming the souls of men and women. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. Amidst all that's going on in the world, the believer will declare the greatness of God. And it'll be so until the last sheep is saved. Because God says it'll be so. Because God says it'll be so. And what shall they declare? Well, the text this morning declares that the people of God will declare the mighty acts of God, and shall declare thy mighty acts. The generations shall hear unite. Think of that. All the generations unite in this, in declaring the mighty acts of God. They declare, generations from 1,000 years ago who were saved by the Lord declare the same thing we do. The greatness of our God. Isn't that amazing? We all unite in this telling the mighty acts of God which Christ has done for us. And they make up an extraordinary history, don't they? They make up an extraordinary history. As each generation shall contribute its chapter. And all generations together shall compose a volume of matchless character, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? That is absolutely incredible. Just like David, we who are the people of God in our generation shall proclaim the greatness and the goodness and the graciousness and the righteousness of our great God. And this is only found in Christ and Christ alone. God's work of goodness and acts of power is a subject which all the eras of human existence can never exhaust. You could speak of the greatness of God and His mighty acts for your whole lifetime, and then the next believer could speak of theirs all the way back and never even exhaust the greatness of God. Because it's unsearchable. It's unsearchable. A praiseful heart seems to live in the people of God through all the centuries. And this is what every believer in Christ has, a praiseful heart. So let us in this generation not be afraid to praise our great God. Just like our brothers and sisters did in the past, to praise Him in adoration. All glory to Him. All power, all might, all honor goes to Him. And He is the same God throughout all those generations. Yeah. Same God through all those generations. Oh my. He don't change. He's the same what? Yesterday? Today? And what? Forever. He didn't change. All the glory goes to Him. And then look at Psalm 145, verse 7. Look at this. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and sing of thy righteousness. This is speaking of all those generations. David himself, too. And all the generations of born-again, blood-washed believers shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and sing of thy righteousness. Wonderful, wonderful words here. They show us how the people of God will praise our great God for His goodness, it says there, and they shall sing of His righteousness. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. That's Christ. He's that fountain. He's that fountain. Now, in order for us to remember things, we must observe and we must look intently. A man or a woman cannot remember what he never knew. We can't speak of what we don't know either, can we? What are usually the things that we remember? Well, those that things that make an impression upon us. Make an impression upon us. Well, we hear, we say, I'll write that down. I can't tell you how many times I said I've written something. I'm going to write that down. And what happens? If I don't write it down, yeah, I forget it. It's gone. It's gone. But for that moment, I was praising God. Oh my. This is a good thing. It's a good thing to write things down, but if you really want to remember things, we must consider and meditate upon those things. To think upon those things. to allow what is heard to exert influence upon our hearts. See, if we're just hearers of the word and not doers, then it doesn't profit us nothing, does it? My, oh my. So let what we hear exert influence upon our hearts. The first thing toward the praising of God is a careful observation of His goodness. Now, we looked a lot at His greatness there, but when you observe and you think upon and ponder the goodness of God, again, it'll cause your heart to sing praises to Him. And what are we to see in and through the Lord Jesus Christ? God's goodness. God's goodness. And if you really want to abundantly praise God, then observe His goodness. Many times we receive the bounties of providence. Every day we receive the bounties of providence. Right? But we do not see the hand of God in them. And we attribute them sometimes to ourselves. But those bounties of providence come from our great God. Come from His goodness. Come from His mercy showing towards us. Oh, His grace is amazing. Look at verse 8 here and 9. Look at how His love and His mercy to His people is brought forth in these verses. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. How merciful is God with His people? How long-suffering is He with us? Before we're saved and even after we're saved. How long-suffering is He with us? How good is He to? He's so compassionate with us. He doesn't get fed up with us at all. We can get fed up with situations, can't we? God doesn't get fed up with us. No, He's compassionate with us. He's slow to anger because His anger is being appeased in Christ. And remember, when you're going through a trial, God's not judging you because our sins were judged at Calvary's cross. We're going through that trial usually to draw us closer to Him. And we're being conformed to the image of the Son. And we see here in verses 8 and 9 that the Lord is gracious. He's full of compassion. This speaks of Christ, doesn't it? This speaks of Christ. Slow to anger, of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Oh, observe the goodness of God in Christ. And this will bring you great joy. It'll cause you to praise His name for His goodness towards us. Remember, our God is the God of Sinai. Right? He's the God of Sinai. Oh man, when He thundered when He gave that law. Right? But praise be to God, He's the God of Calvary. He's the God of Calvary too. Oh my. And we who are the people of God are thoroughly acquainted with ourselves. We know ourselves, don't we? We know what we are. And now, we who are born again know a little bit of who He is. And what He is. He has made Himself known to us in the Scriptures. He showed us His goodness. And every day, every hour, let us think upon the goodness of God. Think upon the goodness of God to you. Think of how gracious He is to His people. His goodness is so evident and in so many ways that we cannot even begin to name them. We can't even name them, how good He is to us. His goodness is seen in creation. It shines in every sunbeam, every dewdrop. It smiles in every flower, one commentator said, and it cools in every breeze. Earth and sea and air teeming with innumerable forms of life are all full of the goodness of the Lord. The sun, the moon, and the stars say that the Lord is good. And all things on earth echo that proclamation. You see that moon last night? Oh, it was beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Beautiful. I was out at Brother Neil's and Sister Joan's last night, and I was amazed at how there's not much light out there. Here in the town, we get all this light. But out there, we could see our shadows with the moonlight. It was incredible. And it leaves you in awe to look at that moon placed there by the Lord, placed there by Him. My, His goodness is everywhere, beloved. The noblest form, though, of God's goodness is in the dominion of His grace. In the dominion of His grace. It began with the goodness of God in our election. It followed with the redemption of our eternal souls by the precious blood of Christ. And it continues when we look at the mission of the Holy Spirit of God, the calling, the adoption, the preservation, the perfection of His chosen ones. When we look at that alone, that's where His goodness shines more than any other place. It's magnified. The noblest form of divine goodness is in the redemption of God's people in and through Christ alone. And we see again in verse 3 that David emphasized the greatness of our God, the greatness of our God. He says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable." So think about the person upon whom the goodness of God is bestowed and wonder in awe that God should be good to any of His people, that God should be good to us, to we who are sinners. What does this show us? What does it show us? It shows us the great mercy of God. It shows us the fact that it's unsearchable. You can't plumb the depths of it. How He deals with His people. The goodness that He shows us, the graciousness that He shows us mercy. Mercy to the guilty. Mercy to the guilty. We're so deserving of His wrath by nature. And yet He shows His people mercy. He shows mercy to ungrateful sinners. To those who are redeemed by His precious blood. And then what do? We confess the greatness of His goodness, don't we? We confess the greatness of His goodness. Is it so for you? Is it so for you? The greatness of His goodness is magnified when we think of the greatness of God. That God Himself should bless His people. That He should come in the form of human flesh to save His people. That He should send His whole Spirit to dwell in us. That He should be a very present help in trouble. I know that. Do you know that? That God is a very present help in trouble? Oh, we do, don't we? We do. You know, He could have committed us to the charge of angels, but you know what He says? No. He says that He Himself is our present help. He Himself. Just with a word, He could have committed us to the angels to care, but no. No, Elohim, the Mighty One, says, "They are mine. They are mine, and none that come to me shall perish. None. None." So think about the goodness of God this week. Think about the goodness of God. Think about what God has given you in Christ. We'll close with this. Think about what God has given you in Christ, a name and a place among His people. The complete forgiveness of all your sins. A robe of righteousness, which you are wearing now. Now. A loveliness in Christ Jesus that you have now. Access to him at his mercy seat now. A gospel church to come and hear the gospel preached and proclaimed while we journey through this earth. I know for me, and I'm sure it's for you too, who are the born-again believers, that we could never personally tell the greatness of God's goodness to us. And we have nothing to say but God is great, and his goodness is great, and his righteousness is great, and his mercy is great, and his love is great. And it is in the storms of life that we learn to praise our God, isn't it? It's in the storms of life that we learn to praise our God, that we learn to extol him like David did. When we realize by the grace of God the pit we were in, and he took us out of that, and he set us upon the rock, and that rock is Christ. That rock's Christ. We have a sure foundation, don't we? And by the mercy and grace of God, every believer can say, I'm going to praise him forever. Because God said it was so. Praise his mighty name. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your great grace, your great mercy which you have shown your people in and through Christ alone. We glorify your name, we magnify your name, we praise your name, O Lord. And we, you know our hearts, you know how we feel about thee, O Lord. And you know that our words don't even express what we feel inside, but yet you know, Lord, you know us. You know we're but dust. And we praise you and thank you, we who are your people. Oh, we thank you for your mercy, your great love, your great goodness, your great righteousness which we have in and through Christ alone. May we think upon these things which we've heard this week, tonight or today. May we think upon these things. May we ponder them through this week. Write them to our hearts, O Lord. We love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.